absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again. It's that time. It's the Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm always happy to come on at this time of the day on a Sunday. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. 3220 is the place to be if you want to talk the master. And guess what? That is me. Got a great show in store for you today. The theme is back to reality. One team has come back down to reality. I think some other teams are going to be doing the same thing. And some other players are going to be in. I have done it already. So, we got a chat room sitting out there. Also, if you want to lay your knowledge or ask a question in that chat room, you can also do it there. Or if you just want to make a statement, comment, whatever. That chat room there is for you. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out of it. All right. But without further ado, let's cut the music out and get down to business. Well, okay. We're going to be talking about the NBA Finals. Going to be talking about some soccer. Guys having, I guess he's out, what I'm saying, a reality check or whatever. Or he's not in reality. Talking about the soccer. We're going to be talking about that. Yeah, I'm going to be talking about a little soccer too. Talking about one of my favorite players in baseball. Hit a milestone. I'm going to be talking about that. And whatever else comes along, maybe even talk about boxing because there's something coming up boxing. I would say a rising star, but it may be somebody in a heavyweight division that may want to give one of those Russians a go for his money. But we'll see. But before I do that, let me bring in my esteemed friend of mine, guy that puts up a lot with me. I give him a whole lot of slack, but it's all in fun. He knows it's just a friendly banter. Mr. Vic Gardner, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good as usual, JT. Sounds like you're not using your mic either today. I guess there's something wrong with Blog Talk Radio.
No, I am using my mic. It doesn't sound right?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like you're on your phone, but maybe it's my phone. I don't know.
Okay. No, I'm definitely using my mic.
Okay. Well, anyway, JT, tell
yes,
you
sir.
Your show plan. But I want to get on here real quick and
yep.
talk to the people. Because yep. this show, along with all of our other shows, are affiliated with DraftKings.com, where you can make a shipload of money.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Yeah. I love saying that.
I know you do. But what I want to do for the listeners today,
yep.
I have two $3 free entries to any DraftKings event. Two. Now, here's the kicker. One, you cannot have a DraftKings account in order to
receive. Right. You got to be new to DraftKings.
You got to be new to DraftKings.
Right.
You got to make a profile. And while you make a profile, of course, you want to maybe deposit $5 or whatever. But you're going to get
$3. Yeah, but it's not free then.
No. The tickets are free.
Okay.
Your first games are free. Once you make the profile, it'll tell you, okay, what you got to do, da-da-da-da-da. But you get to pick any $3 game.
Okay.
That you want to participate in.
Right.
Most likely it'll be baseball because that's what's going on right now. PGA, golf, and NASCAR. I don't know a lot of NASCAR folks. But if you want one of these free $3 entries, all you got to do is email the master or you can call the show. It depends. However you want to do it. But if you email them, you got to send the email to masterplanandcrewshow@spotonradios.com. Again, it's masterplanandcrewshows@spotonradios.com. First two, they drop something in that email, they'll get those tickets. Because I'll get your email address, or JT will get your email address, and then we're going to send you those tickets. Here's something we're going to start doing a lot on all of our programs.
Yep.
It's going to be different email addresses because of different shows. Or if you call in and you want to give Jerry your information off the air, unless you want people to know your email address, I don't know why, you'll have that opportunity. And during the football season, I guarantee you we'll have more to give away as well. Because we're talking with DraftKings, and we're trying to make
right.
this really, really work.
Right.
Go ahead, JT.
I can't. I hate to say that one, guarantee, but I can give you a strong possibility that if you get into DraftKings, join DraftKings, and in the football season, the so-called experts give you a lot of picks. I go off the grid with a lot of my picks. A lot of times I'm criticized and lambasted for some of the guys I put out there that say they're going to do something. Now, I'm not perfect, just like everybody else. But when I hit big. And my esteemed co-host can tell you that. He's lambasted me a few times about some of the players I've talked about. And has to come back. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm saying that. He comes back and says, you know, you were right. I was surprised about that. So you can make a shipload of money listening to our programs. Especially during the fantasy football season when you play weekly fantasy football on the DraftKings, where you can, like I said, win a shipload of money.
But they can also go to spotonradios.com and click on any of those banners that are DraftKings, any of them.
Yep.
They'll take you there, and you can get involved and play and do all that other stuff. And the good thing about it is this, JT, weekly fantasy is what we normally do for football.
Yep.
But DraftKings allows you to do daily fantasy because there's sports going on every day.
Every day.
Soccer. Yeah, whether it's soccer. Baseball,
every day. Absolutely.
You know, all these sports that are going on simultaneously throughout the world. MMA. Yesterday I had a bad MMA beat.
It Kane happens.
Kane Velasquez got choked out. The black girl didn't win. She got choked out. I mean, she didn't get choked out, but she lost. And a couple of my other picks didn't pan out. But I had to fit everybody under salary structure. And that's what it is. That's what DraftKings does. It's not like
right.
Jerry says that Keenan Allen is going to be a star this week. So he goes and picks Keenan Allen. He can do that. But then he has to structure the rest of his team under the salary cap.
Exactly.
So if you want to talk about what, you know, type of gaming DraftKings is, it's salary cap based.
Mm-hmm.
You have a group of every position or fighters or whatever, you know, sport it is that you have to keep under salary cap. If you can do it, great. If you can't, sorry. But like JT said, he knows a lot of hidden gems. So if they're on the board, they're probably cheap. And if they outperform what everybody else thinks, he might be sitting in the winner's circle.
Yep. 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 And I'm looking forward to doing that. I backed off of it last year. I won some money the year before. Playing daily, weekly fantasy football through DraftKings and the other site. I'm not going to mention it, but it's more than quite naturally is more than one site. But we want to talk about DraftKings. And yes, and each one of these sites, you can compare them because their salary structure is different. So say that you talked about Keenan Allen. He could be $3,500 on DraftKings, and he could be $3,600, $3,700, maybe more, or even maybe less on another site. So,
But it's also with that, JT, the scoring structure is way different.
Yes.
Way different. And I love DraftKings because it keeps me excited when I'm seeing positive numbers and not a lot of negative numbers.
Right. So you have to look at the type of game or head-to-head or whatever it is that you're getting into, the salary structure and the scoring structure of what the event that you want to get in. And quite naturally, you want to do it so you take advantage of the salary structure or the scoring or whatever, but it shows more in your favor than it does actually for the site. Because the whole bottom line is if you get into these things and you put money down, you want to win some money back. You don't want to break even. That breaking even is fine because that means you didn't lose any money. But the whole premise of getting into these things is to make a profit. So that's the bottom line. So you got to be smart, got to listen to and use your own intuition and play these different tournaments or whatever in DraftKings and win some
you can always
money.
What other people do, you can go head to head, meaning you don't have to get in the tournament. I can challenge JT straight up for seven.
He don't want to do that. He don't want to do that.
We will be doing that, matter of fact, because you want to talk trash. You can make it public, whatever, dude. You can make it public or you can make it private, meaning if you open up to the public, everybody in the world that has access to DraftKings jump in. If you make it private, only your friends you invite to it will fill the league. But since Jerry wants to talk that trash, he and I are going to go head-to-head. Matter of fact, JT, I want you to load $5 up on your account. You and I, straight up, $5 on tomorrow's baseball games. Your team versus my team at DraftKings. Now, I don't know your DraftKings name, but mine is Mr. FSP to you. MR FSP, the number 2 and the letter U.
What else is new? That's very original. That's very original. Hey, you have that on everything.
That's right. Because I am Mr. FSP to you, punk, but we're good. I just want to bring that up and make sure everybody who's listening, if you want an opportunity to get one of those free tickets, you know, simply email JT at masterplanandcrewshow@spotonradios.com or come on the show, talk to JT. Give him your vitals off air, or you can do it on air if you want, and he'll pass it on to me, and we'll make sure it happens. But I know we took up a lot of time, and you want to get to your sports.
We're fine.
So, do your thing.
All right. All right.
Do your thing, JP.
No problem, man. Thanks. All right, people. We want to get to the NBA. You know, and I said back to reality, and the reason I'm saying that is everybody – well, a lot of people were setting guessing the heart and the 1-2 of the Golden State Warriors. They lost 2 in a row. I don't know. I don't think the fans were panicking, but there was a lot of speculation that this may be LeBron pulling off the unbelievable, along with the cast of characters that, for the most part, wouldn't even start. And I hate to say it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Wouldn't even start on the New York Knicks. At maybe bench players, but not even starters on the New York Knicks. Quite naturally, two of them were in and out. They weren't exactly starters. They came off the bench, and maybe for some need of being injured, talking about Iman Shumpert and J.R. Smith, who got traded from the Knicks to the Cleveland Cavaliers, were playing with LeBron and pulling off what people believe were the unbelievable. But just like, and I never lost faith in this team, and I said it before when they even went down in the second game, and the game, two games they lost were relatively close. They were close, and they made a mad dash, and it was quite obvious what they had to do in the fourth game in order to turn this around, is to get off to a decent start and not have to make a mad scramble to try to catch up in the fourth quarter or wake up in the fourth quarter. Well, the reality check came in last game, game four in Cleveland, where the Golden State Warriors beat down and gave a reality check, woke up, stunned, whatever you want to say, to the Cavaliers and says, we are not going silently into the night. We are going, we're here, and we're the best team. We made the adjustments to show you we're the best team and handily beat them by 20, 22 points, 24 points. Beat them down, let me put it that way. Came close to what their season average is, which is for the Cavaliers, I think it's about 101 points, give or take. But for the Golden State Warriors, their average is 110 points. And they're one of the better defensive teams, holding the team down to just slightly less than 100 points. So in order for Cleveland, quite naturally, in order for Cleveland to win the games, and this is how they did it, they slowed the game down to a crawl, played old-schooled offense, slowed it down, half-court offense, didn't push the ball. LeBron was the orchestrator, and kept the score well below 100. And they won two games back-to-back. Lo and behold, a 20-something-year-old assistant coach went back, looked at the tape, said, this is the formula to beat LeBron, a LeBron team, came out with a different lineup. Steve Kerr admitted he lied, which is fine. All's fair in love and basketball. And put Andre Iguodala in, who was, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was won the sixth man year award and was a all-star basketball player when he was with the 76ers and is a very good offensive player and an extremely good defensive player, especially a long and lean guy that can move and is not afraid to mix it up with LeBron, and inserted him into the lineup. He's been the best player for the Golden State Warriors, believe it or not, throughout the playoffs. Anytime he's gotten into the lineup, decided to start him this time and sit Andre Bogut, and instill some tempo and some life into the Golden State Warriors, and that's how they won handily. Victor, I know that was a little long in the tooth, but that's how I do it. I wanted to lay it all out there for you. I'm going to give you as much time as you need to respond to what I just said about the way that the big difference of the first three games versus this last game. And I think for the simple fact is I don't think Cleveland can do much adjusting because they don't have the personnel to do the type of adjusting that would counteract what the Golden State Warriors are doing. Talk to me.
You know, again, you mentioned the young assistant coach for Steve Kerr that studied the Spurs film and saw how the Spurs played LeBron James and the Miami Heat. Well, you know, LeBron's been doing it with smoke and mirrors, Dellavedova, and everybody else has been playing out of their mind. However, you can tell that Shumpert and J.R. Smith's confidence is shook. They're shook. They're not confident in their shots. They'll take them, but they're not feeling confident in them. Now, LeBron, you know, he's not going to have a 20-point game again. He'll probably have like 30, 35, something like that, because he's their sole offense. Well, he's their main cog. Mangadal is their second score, but that's only if Golden State allows them to play half-court offense and half-court defense. If Golden State runs, gets in transition, and knocks down their shots, meaning I'm not saying take a three-pointer. I'm saying go and finish. Finish. If you got the three-pointer, okay, fine. But if you're ahead of the pack, don't settle for a jumper. That's a low percentage shot. Go and finish at the hole. Now, if you're hot and you just hitting everything, okay, cool. Take your three. But when you have open space and a way to finish, finish. Dellavedova is a very good defensive player. Reggie Miller and a couple other folks call him a pest. Cool. People can be pests and contribute, and he's doing his best. But he's not a consistent offensive weapon. That's my point.
Right.
You knock him around the way that he's knocking everybody else around, he won't be as good. You let him get close to the bucket, he'll throw a rainbow shot up like he's been doing, and he'll make it. But if you make it difficult for him to go into those somewhat trees down there, it'll change. And I said this before the series started. If Harrison Barnes is benched and you put Iguodala in, you have a better, you know, matchup. But, you know, Steve keeps Harrison in because he's a shooter, and he benches Bogut, which is cool too. Because Bogut comes off the bench and he can give you those fouls you need, hurt people, and he can be an offensive threat. But the
right.
big play here is the fact that David Lee, the highest paid player on the team, is coming into the starting lineup and giving them instant offense. He can move up and down the court and run with them. He can finish, and he's a decent defensive player. Tristan Thomas, he's not an offensive player either. He's a good boards guy. He's not a finisher. So David Lee can work on him, get him in foul trouble as well. And even if David Lee gets in foul trouble, you still got Bogut and Azili who can come off the bench and play big. The key to this series, or the remainder of the series, is this, in my opinion. You play physical if you're Golden State. Iguodala is on LeBron James all the way. And you don't let Cleveland play half-court offense or get back on defense. You push the pace. They can't handle that. You push the pace and you play just as physical as they do. I'm talking about Golden State playing just as physical as Cleveland. But if you don't, and you get to this half-court mess, you're giving LeBron James and all those other guys an opportunity to shoot the lights out or to make
plays
or get rebounds.
And slow the game down.
Exactly. Slow the game down. Rebounding is what's killing Golden State. If they can, you know, go down there, run, everybody, not just three or four people, all five, run, and if a shot is missed, fight for that rebound. You see Dellavedova diving on the ground. You see Mike Miller diving on the ground. James Jones diving on the ground. All these folks diving on the ground to get the ball, but they're from Cleveland. I haven't seen but maybe two times in the last four games Golden State players going all out and throwing their bodies on the ground trying to get a loose ball. I've seen Dellavedova doing a lot. A lot.
because he doesn't care. He wants to win. And you have to have that attitude, kill or be killed attitude. And Steph is a great shooter, but he can go to the bucket. He's got great handle. He can go to the bucket. High pick and roll. High pick and roll. That's what I got, JT. I don't want to take too much of the time. So
it's quite all right, man. I told you you got all the time in the world. This is my show, and you want to take it, you take it. Anyway, I have to totally agree with you, and I'm looking forward to this game. It's been Golden State. They won on a high going away in the last game. And a dejected and a very, very tired Dellavedova and LeBron James. Got a chance to rest a couple days. You're going to get more of an effort. And like I talked to you guys, talked to on different shows that we have about what took place in game three. When LeBron James and Dellavedova were like totally exhausted. I mean, they emptied a tank out to win that game to go up 2-1 at the time. That the following game, because it was a day after, it was just a day in between the game three and game four, that I didn't think they had that much left in the tank because fatigue and I've been through where you've been fatigued when you've totally emptied a tank when I've done my time in the military. And you need time to recoup that. It's not like you can automatically come back the next day or a day after that. That takes a lot out of your body. A lot out of your body. And you need time for your body to recoup. You may think that you have the same amount of energy until you start expending that energy and realize I'm in trouble here because I don't have what I had 2 days ago. And I don't know how much energy I'm going to have to do what I have to do. And that's what happened with Dellavedova, obviously, and LeBron. You could see it maybe not even halfway through that game that these guys weren't going to last because they had spent so much the game prior. And you know what? Because you get to that level, it takes quite a while. It's not like these guys are going to be in trouble for the rest of the series. For the simple fact is they've expended themselves, I wouldn't say past their normal exhaustion level, but they have. And in order for something like that to happen, that takes several days, not a couple days, it takes several days. And if you keep taxing the body, quite naturally, you don't get those several days to recoup. So I'm not expecting a whole lot, especially in the second half from LeBron and Dellavedova going into this game. They may have a lot of it in the first half, but come the fourth quarter, if the pace is still in favor of Golden State, then you can expect the same results from that you had in game four because the adjustment that Steve Kerr made, and I got all due respect for Mark Jackson and how he set this team up and how he brought this team along. But hindsight is 20/20, and I have to say that the ownership and the higher-ups in the Golden State organization made the right move because they have the right coach who has the right demeanor, who can relate to these young players and get them to do and realize what they need to do. Because he's been there. He's been there with one of the greatest of all time in Michael Jordan, and he's witnessed it. What you need to do to win a championship and how you need to do it. And the type of coach that is willing to listen to a young assistant with a suggestion and have the balls, and I'll say to have the balls to make the adjustment and it work out. Now it could easily go on the other way. It could have easily backfired and they could be down 3-1, which is like a death deal in the NBA finals. Now they're even 2-2 and going home, and it worked. So, Steve Kerr, he's a smart guy, and he listens to his players. He listens to his assistant coaches, and he's decisive in what in the type of adjustments he makes. And they panned out in Memphis, and now they're panning out against Cleveland, two decent defensive teams that give you difficulty in trying to run your offense, implying trying to play your game. Make the adjustments, and you come out on top. Let's see what happens this game. I'm really looking anxious to this game because I want to see what Dellavedova and LeBron James has. A lot of these guys, and I know I'm being long-winded, but a lot of these guys, role players, don't do well on the road. Don't do well on the road.
I'll tell you this, JT. The Oracle Arena might not be as loud as the Cleveland Cavaliers Arena, but those fans are on top of you. I'm talking about the Oracle Arena folks.
Okay, you've been there. I haven't.
Yeah, and I've been on the floor, and I've been up in the rafters and all that. The fans are on top of you. If the fans bring the energy like they normally do, there's no way Golden State loses this game. Because being there, they feed off of the fans. Mm-hmm. They really do. Golden State Warriors, they feed off the fans. And having that home court advantage, knowing how the rims are, knowing where your spot is on that court, there's no need to try anything different. Steph's going to shoot from the left side all day, every day in Golden State. He might even do a layup or whatever, but he's going to shoot from the left all day and the top of the key. Those are his spots in Oracle Arena. Knowing what I know of the team and the stadium and the fans, if LeBron James finds a way to single-handedly beat Golden State, it's going to be a miracle. And hinting and saying that it's the coach's decision on who to play and who not to play, you know, in minutes-wise, that says he's tired.
Mm-hmm.
He's really tired.
JR
looks tired. Dellavedova, getting dehydrated, decides to stop drinking coffee, a cup of coffee before the game and a cup of coffee during halftime, which is stupid because coffee dehydrates you. But
right.
It is what it is. That's his ritual. You bring in Sean Merriman for some defense. He might be an offensive liability right now, but you bring in Brandon Hayward to play a little defense, you know, to spell Miles Goff, to spell, you know, some people. That's what you would do if you're Black and you're Cleveland. Now, will you suffer because of their offensive liabilities? Probably so. And that's probably why Blatt has not done that, because he understands how dangerous Golden State can be in a blink of an eye. Because if you recall, LeBron was supposed to sit out like the first 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter in game three or whatever. They had a 13-14-point lead at the time. 1 minute into the quarter, LeBron's back on the court because it's cut down to like 3 or 1, something like that.
Yeah.
You got to watch what you're doing. Don't second guess this guy. This guy's been coaching longer than LeBron has been out of his training pampers.
You're right.
LeBron's 29 and Black's been coaching for almost 30 years. So, you know, he understands what he has on his bench and what he's going up against. So I'm not gonna criticize him. But if you wanna say, okay, if we're gonna give a game away, give it away now so everybody can get rest. If you understand what I'm saying. Meaning
right.
You
understand what you're
saying. Out in the court.
Right.
Put your players out in the court tonight and they're gonna play. But if you got that feeling that you might have to take this home to Cleveland and make this a 7-game series, You say, okay, fine. LBJ, rest of you guys, y'all going to chill for most of the fourth quarter, and we're going to put everybody else in, and we're going to take it home and try to tie it up 3-3 and come back here game seven next Sunday and finish it. No, my bad, on Thursday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can see that happening. I can really see that happening. But that's all I got, JT.
Okay. Hey, you know, this is one thing, and I don't know if you caught this. I don't know if a lot of people caught this, but I was amazed at that no one made any stink about this. In the NBA, if you take a shot to the head, you take a shot. I think you know where I'm going to when I said this. If you take a shot to the head, I thought that you would have to go through some protocol, to concussion protocol, in order to okay you for you to come back into the game. The reason I'm saying this is this, Victor, in LeBron James's press conference, he said he had a headache. He said he's had a little headache, but it's no big deal. And he said it was no need for to go through a concussion protocol because he said he was okay. And I'm saying something's not right here, and somebody's not bringing this up. He took a shot to the head. He got hit in the head in camera. In fact, he had to get stitches. But besides getting the stitches, he took a shot to the head. You would think that if he took a shot to the head, he would have to go through some concussion protocol. I would, you know, and maybe I'm just making something out of nothing. But when you're supposedly the best player on the planet, and this is hindsight, it's 2020 again, says that he has a slight headache after the game, I'm saying to myself, well, what the hell happened here? Why didn't somebody, because he took a shot to the head, that he didn't go through a concussion protocol before he was allowed to come back in the game?
Well, I'll tell you like this, just like when Klay Thompson and Steph got concussions in the Houston game from Trevor Ariza, when Steph, you know, flipped over Trevor Ariza and landed on his head. You know,
right.
We're saying, okay, well, you know, he went through the protocol.
Right.
I don't know if you know what it was. They showed him running in the hallway and all this other stuff. And
that, right. Blah, blah, blah.
But he, you know, he came back and he didn't feel great, but it was determined he didn't have one.
Right.
Klay Thomas took a knee to the head by whatever reason. A flying knee that in UFC would knock somebody out.
Right.
You know? And, you know, they didn't check him.
Yeah, they did. He went through percussion protocol, and they didn't let him go back into the game because it was just before halftime.
He played like a couple of series, and then he started bleeding from his ear again. So that's when they set him on the bench.
Oh, okay. I thought he went through concussion protocol, and they said he was okay. Okay.
No, he did go through the protocol.
Right. Right.
He was okay.
But right.
After he got back out on the court, started bleeding from the ear, and
right.
then they sat him down for the rest of,
right.
Of the game, which ended up being the last game of that series anyway.
And which was a good thing too, because the fact is he did have a concussion, and he suffered the symptoms after the game and after that series.
Correct. And
yeah.
He had to stay in the dark because they didn't know if he was going to start this series.
Right.
For game one.
Right.
But I agree with you. You know, he had two big gashes, talking about LeBron James. Two
sure.
big gashes on the back
right.
of his head.
Right.
And, you know, he's got a headache. Yeah, that's a sign. Not saying he had
right.
a concussion or had a concussion, but that's a sign.
Right.
Will he have enough time to recover? 2 days? Is that enough time for him to recover for that? Or 3 days? I don't know. But thinking about the amount of energy he's going to exert, thinking about the physical nature in which he's going to be playing, because he plays
right.
physical, and they're going
sure.
to play physical back.
Sure.
Will he be, you know, ready for that? Now, he's probably been hydrating and hydrating but the hydration isn't going to fix his brain.
Right.
It doesn't.
That's why I couldn't understand when he took that shot to the head, that they didn't even think about it. And I was amazed at saying, you know, any other player, they were taking him back into the locker room and go through a concussion protocol, not just say keep on playing.
Well, JT, the thing is, had he been taken back to the locker room,
right,
he didn't come back to the game because he had to take the free throws. If he doesn't take the free throws, he's done for the game.
Okay, well, then this is what I'm saying then. Okay, do the free throws, take him out of the game after that, and then do what you got to do. This is your best player supposedly in the league, and you're playing with fire regardless of the circumstances of the game. You're playing with fire when somebody, the possibility that he has a concussion, that he sustained a concussion, and you allow him to play the rest of the game. And when he says that he has a headache, he's got a slight headache, it's no big deal, that's a problem to me. And I'm surprised no one has really, you know, jumped on that and saying, well, you know, what the hell's going on here? You can't do that. That was amazing. When I heard him say that, because I watched the press conference, when I heard him say, yeah, I got a headache, I got a slow headache, but it's no big deal, something like that, he downplayed it. I'm saying, wait a minute. Nobody in the media is jumping on that because it's LeBron James? Come on. You know what I'm saying?
There's nothing for me to debate. I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me move this way, man, because I want to talk about one of my favorite players in baseball. One of my favorite players. I have him on my fantasy team, and my man is playing his ass off. I hate to say it like that, but he's playing his butt off and surprising a lot of people. Not surprising me, because I called this guy out early in the season, before the season started. I think that he was going to play, and he's playing almost exactly like I thought he would, because he's such a talent. And despite himself and his insecurities, and I think that's what it was, his insecurities caused him to take all these PEDs, that he did a natural talent ever since he came into the league. And talent always wins out. I'm talking about none other, the designated hitter, going on 40. He'll be 40 in about a month and a half, about a month and a week, I should say. I'm talking about Alex Rodriguez, who
the A-Rod apologist, the lawyer.
A-Rod's lawyer. I, you know what, Victor? I've been saying this for a few years, ever since everybody been jumping on A-Rod. I've been with A-Rod from the beginning, and you know it. It's not like I'm just jumping on the bandwagon. I've been with A-Rod ever since the things have been jumping off about A-Rod, because I think he's a exceptional talent with a lot of these guys, and some of them aren't like this, and some of them are. They have so much talent, but they're one of their fatal flaws is they're so insecure within themselves that they're not good enough. They got to do things to make them better when they're better than a lot of people are and possibly could be. And they don't need to take anything to possibly enhance their talents, because their talents are so far above all others. Alex Rodriguez just passed the milestone. Okay. And this milestone, he's been in the league 21 years. And in those 21 years, he's now got over 2,000 RBIs, and he's the only one, or the youngest one, I should say, with the least amount of time in the league, that's got 2,000 RBIs. The reason I'm saying that is that Hank Aaron is the leader with 2,297 RBIs. I'm looking at this. You got Babe Ruth. He's got 2,214. Hank Aaron did it in 23 years in Major League Baseball. Babe Ruth did it in 22 years in Major League Baseball. And a player back in the – and they used to do RBIs differently back in the day. And this guy is Cap Anson, who played back in the 1800s. He is third on the list from what I'm looking at here. And he played 27 years and had 2,075 RBIs. Alex Rodriguez has played in the league 21 years, and he's got 2,001 RBIs and still going. Still going. And he's only 5 hits away from 3,000. I'm telling you, this guy is hitting 273, and I'm saying, I said this beginning of the season, I see him hitting about 270, 275, and hitting 20 to 25 home runs. Well, he just hit his 12th home run yesterday. So I got to adjust. Unless he gets hurt, I got to adjust my estimation of the amount of home runs he's going to hit, because we're not even halfway through the season, and he's got 12 home runs and 32 RBIs, Victor, and an OPS of 887, which is good for 10th best in the American League. Victor, my man, A-Roid on my team, one of my favorite players in base, even though I'm a Mets fan, I do like Alex Rodriguez, who plays for the Yankees a hell of a lot. I got a man crush on him. I'll admit it. I got a man crush on him. And I like watching him. And I turn the station to get to the Yankee games so I can watch Alex Rodriguez at bats. Talk to me, Victor.
Okay, a couple things here, JT. Last time I got a man crush, it was on a certain Jermichael Finley. I don't think so. So I wouldn't be saying you have a man crush on A-Rod, because he might be hurt and out the league really soon.
Stop.
I will say this. You have been touting his abilities ever since preseason or spring training, saying that he's going to come out and do great things. And I fell on the bandwagon with you, because you're right. I fell on before the season started, because I started to see he's going to go out there and have something to prove. And, you know, he's doing it in a DH role. Also, the Yankees have been calling up a lot of young players.
Yep.
A lot of young players. So here's an opportunity for him to be a mentor as well as a leader in that clubhouse before he retires or whatever, and the big hoopla over his bonus money gets too big. Yankees aren't going to the playoffs. We don't think so. So this is just about A-Rod having his swan song year or years with the Yankees before he goes somewhere else or retires. He's a good player, very good player. He didn't need the performance-enhancing drugs in order to get where he is. But, you know, I guess he said he didn't want to be like Ken Griffey, come so close to various records, only not to make them because his body gave out on him. Ken Griffey, talking about Junior, Ken Griffey Jr., he could have been the sweetest thing since sliced bread. Him and Frank Thomas, they did it naturally. I'll say Craig Biggio did it naturally as well. You know,
that's a question about that.
Well, there's a question about it, but
yep.
Bagwell and Biggio, the Killer Bees and all those guys. But the thing is, some of these records that were set by guys who didn't have performance-enhancing drugs.
Absolutely.
The baseball wasn't wound very tightly or thrown 100 miles per hour all the time. So they had to do it on their basic power. And, you know, I think A-Rod didn't want to go down like in history, like Ken Griffey as one of the best of the game, but the record still belongs to Willie Mays, or still belongs to, you know, my guy that played for Atlanta. I can't remember his name right now.
Hank Aaron?
Hank Aaron, thank you. You know, I think that's the situation, especially with all the lies and stuff. Could have been avoided. It wasn't avoided.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. That's one thing I don't like about him, that he had to do that. But I think that was his insecurity, man. I think that, you know, some of these guys, the athletes and actors and things like that, their mind thinks in a different way. And
it does.
And insecurities sometimes gets the best of them. And I don't think he needed that. That's just what I'm saying. I don't think he needed it. His just insecurities say he needed it.
I'll tell you like this, being a former very competitive athlete, but I'm still competitive. That insecurity does drive you because it makes you want to be better than the next man,
right,
and everyone around you. It makes you go in there and try to lift the weight that you say, well, you know what? I can't do it today, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. You know, it says, let me throw the ball 300 times from third base to first base so I can see how fast I can get it off of the ground to my glove to the first baseman. It tells you, okay, well, you know what? I got to be better because all this money they're paying me says I'm this good, and if I don't perform on that level, the people are going to jump on me. I'm going to be looked at differently, and those stressors can't be handled properly. And that's the thing about people in stress. Some people, just like Alex Rodriguez, the other A-Rod, said, not Alex Rodriguez, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers said, the other A-Rod, relax, R-E-L-A-X, relax, stay calm. Things are going to get, you know, better. But too many people stress and don't, you know, get themselves together to really think out what could happen. And that's what they would have with A-Rod. You know, he's like, look, when he was with Seattle, he was a Mariner. He was, what, in his early 20s, playing with Ken Griffey Jr., Jay Buhner, Randy Johnson, and they had an all-star team that could easily win the pennant. But he was in the shadow of who? Ken Griffey. Then when Ken Griffey left Cincinnati, it was all on A-Rod. He couldn't handle it because Seattle was dismantling somewhat. So, you know, he capitalized. He said, let me go to Texas. Texas is going to pay me all this money. I love my people in Texas. And what happened in Texas? He flamed out. He was using PEDs then because of all the pressure. $250 million.
Yep.
Quarter of a billion.
Yep.
Okay? So he was under that pressure and that stress to perform. And when he didn't, him and Pudge and all those other guys, it became a bigger issue. And then he started to produce, but then the contract was about to end. So Texas traded him to the Yankees. The Yankees, a team that's known for having the big bopper, you know, excellence. You got to be great or you won't last long because Steinbrenner won't let you stay. So he's in a big market. Cameras in his face all the time. He's got to perform. Mariano Rivera, Bernie Williams, Mike Mussina, former Oriole, all of these guys on this team.
Derek Jeter.
But I'm the big ticket that everybody's interviewing because I'm the one that's got the almost billion-dollar contract. So the pressure got to him. The stress got to him. And I'm not making excuses for him. I'm not the A-Rod apologist or a lawyer. That's you. I'm just saying I see what he did I can understand what he did. I don't agree with what he did. Also don't think that it's a good thing for him to let me think about it. I think it's a good thing that he's just, you know, taking the whatever's thrown his way now and being silent and playing baseball.
Yep.
That's the best thing he can do right now for his image. The best thing. And he's being productive. So, you know, that's your boy.
Yeah. And I had talked about this before. I had told you that I think he's at peace with himself. It seems like all the stuff that's been going on, he had a year to reflect. He's got a year to heal up. He's had operations on both sides of his hips. And he doesn't have to play the field. He's only concentrating on hitting. And it seems like in his press conferences, he's at peace with himself. Seems like he's more comfortable within his skin. And I think that's the best thing that for Alex, because all he has to do is go out there. He sits and concentrates. Focuses just on hitting and knowing what the situation is, knowing what's going on in the game, sitting on the bench waiting for his time to hit and watching the hit guys go out there and play the field and waiting for his turn at bat. I'm thinking just nothing but good things for him the rest of the season. Hopefully he stays healthy. I think he will, because he's not out in the field. He's just hitting, and he'll have to deal with running the bases once he gets a hit, or rounding the bases when he hits his next home run or two or three or four or whatever. Anyway, we come to near the end of the show. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. But there's one thing I want to quickly talk about that I'm amazed, but I'm not amazed, because I was amazed when he said he was going to do it, and I'm amazed when he says he wasn't going to do it. I'm talking about Sepp Blatter. I don't know if anybody knows who that is, but he's the FIFA president that all the FIFA executives were under fire and getting arrested and indicted or accused of payoffs and payola and graft and whatever else. He hadn't been accused of that, but when he got elected under suspicious terms, he offered that he was going to resign. That was early this month. Now he's having reservations about retiring. Some Asian and African football associations, meaning soccer associations, are suggesting maybe he should rethink his decision about retiring. Victor, is this smart or is this a dumb move if he decides to?
Well, it's a dumb move, quite frankly, because one, people feel as though you're corrupt. So perception is their reality. If you can or cannot prove that he did extort money and all this other stuff, that's irrelevant. The fact
under his watch.
On his watch. That people feel as though he is a bad seed, and he claimed that he was the president of everything in his victory speech, which was funny. But when you look at all of the craziness that has gone down with FIFA and the World Cup and all this other mess, it's best for him to step away. He'll have this gig until November. But if he wants to fight it, he's going to bring more discredit upon those people that are employees and the sport. Because what's going to happen is this. If he's the president when the World Cup happens again, the male World Cup, he'll be the headline of every story. Not the gameplay, but the fact that the president is still involved. You're going to have probably one of the better matches, you know, in soccer history, but if he's there and he's giving away the trophy or whatever the case may be, the story's going to be about him and not the play or the players. So
right.
It is time for him to step away, in my opinion.
Okay, we come to the end of the show. Victor, I want to appreciate you spending the whole hour with me. I didn't think that you were going to, but it's all good. There's no problem.
I had to make sure somebody else didn't jump on here and start talking about something that wasn't supposed to
be. It wasn't going to happen. I had made up a mind that it was not going to happen. So this is my show, and nobody runs my show but me. So it wasn't going to happen. But one last thing that I want people to think about watching tonight, it's the last episode of season 5 of the Game of Thrones. Look out, because I think there's going to be, I got wind of some things that may happen tonight. Even though it's episode 10, and episode 10 normally doesn't have anything crazy. But the last two episodes have been pretty exciting, and I think this last one is going to be a mouth-watering appetite for season 6 that starts off next April. So tune in to the Game of Thrones. And with that being said, Victor, enjoy the rest of the day. I'll be catching you on the FSP show, FSP crew show, which is on Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or on the FSP show, which is 1 o'clock every Saturday afternoon, where I host that show. I host on Thursday. Victor hosts on Saturday, and we are going to talk about quite nicely what's going to take place, whether it took place or not, the NBA finals, and if we have a champion or not, or soon to be champion. That being said, I play what I like to play when I'm leaving here, because it's always a game. You reap what you sow. Don't walk over a bridge if you're not ready to walk back over it, because burning bridges is not the way to do in life. See you next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday. I'm out of here. See ya.